reading is from Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. And it says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you, for my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The common thing that David was writing about here was, we long for Jesus. We long for his power. We search and we thirst for him. And we just have a longing feeling. We do the same thing just like David did. But, as David also did, we should be praising him continually with our mouth. Now God's word also says when we open our mouth, a lot of times we praise God with our mouth, but our actions don't line up. Here's our praise leading the way, and there's our action. It's like those vehicles going down the road sideways. And you're looking at it going, what in the world is wrong with that? It's sidetracking. We don't want to sidetrack. We want our lips to praise God continually. And we want our actions to praise God and glorify God in the things that we do. We want all those things to line up. Today, we'll have a short message. We may have to finish that up another day. But if you would, turn to the book of Joel. The book of Joel in the Old Testament. And today's message is preparing for the day. Setting about our day and getting our day lined up. And as you turn to the book of Joel, we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. I found it interesting as we read this scripture about a wine shortage in those days. Who thought we'd see that? The book of Joel, verse 1 says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Verse 2, hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your father? They were seeing a natural disaster like no other. And they're asking around, has anything like this happened to you before? Have you seen this? Have your parents seen this? Tell your children about it. Let them know. Let your children tell their children about it, and their children another generation. This was so big, they said, go tell multiple generations. Verse 4, what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. So they have these locusts come in, and they're tearing up the crops. And whatever they left behind, then here come the others. Here come the leftover brigade to finish the job. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Oh, there's another brigade behind the cleanup brigade. And they're going to finish what they left behind. Verse 5 says, awake, you drunkards, and weep and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth, for a nation has come up against my land. Strong and without number, his teeth are the teeth of a lion. And he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white. They've taken the bark off the trees to where all you see is the white actual wood. lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. My, oh my, they are without wine. What to do? Many of you may feel the same way if there was a wine shortage. Funny, this week I read, will we have a worldwide wine shortage? It says the world isn't producing enough of the grape-based alcohol, and if things don't turn around, there's going to be a major wine shortage. This was an article written this past Wednesday. I found it odd as I was studying for this that their wine is running out, and then they're telling us in a national publication that the world is going to see a wine shortage. It says that the demand is already greater than the supply of 2012. Now, I don't know if they're having a wine shortage or an abundance of drinkers of it. There's a big difference. But it says when there was an undersupply of 300 million cases of wine. That's a big shortage. Now, in all honesty, it does tend to point towards there's higher consumers of wine than a real shortage. It's just saying we've got more consumers. But I think the same could be said true of what Joel was saying here, that if they produce more, we'd have enough. And it was cut off. They were cut off from the wine. Their fields were destroyed. They were having a natural disaster like they'd never seen before. Enough where they said, tell everybody about it. And then Joel, in verse 15 of chapter 1, continues on. And he says, alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before our eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed shrivels under the clods. Storehouses are in shambles. The place where we keep our food, it's in shambles. For the grain has withered. How the animals groan, the herds of cattle are restless because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. Everybody is suffering because of this shortage. And it's brought on by God saying, you have turned from me. You have walked away from me. Now you face the wrath. Everybody from people to animals to plants are suffering because of what man has done. Verse 19 says, O Lord, to you I cry out. We talked earlier in the psalm, you know, so many times David is crying out to the Lord. He says, Lord, hear me as I plead with you, as I beg with you. Hear me where I am. And many times we do that, even in church as Christians. Lord, where are you? God says, man, I'm right here. We've talked about this so many times. God says, I'm right here, and I'm waiting on you. O Lord, to you I cry out. And he talks about the day of the Lord coming. And it says, the day of the Lord is at hand. But in verse 2, or chapter 2, Joel reads, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Then he says, It is at hand. So he says, the day of the Lord is coming soon. Then he says, it is at hand. We're seeing things that tell us, here it is. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong. The like of whom has never been. Nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. And he talks about the coming God, the coming glory, the revelation that's coming to him. And in verse 12 of chapter 2, the call to repentance. Man, why does God always have to tell us, if you want anything to be corrected, you've got to repent? That means I have to admit I was wrong, I have to say I'm sorry, and I've got to fix my problems, and more than likely I've got to change what I was doing. Oh, I don't like that part of being a Christian. However, I don't like the part of being a Christian where God says, I can't bless that mess. And if you want me to bless what you have going on, you have to do this. And that's where man gets so confused sometimes. We say, I want to do it my way. You know, I have a friend, and my friend said, hey, come here. I've got a better way. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to do that stuff. I've got a better way. And lo and behold, it's probably in that wine bottle, or it's in drugs, or it's in other activities that don't glorify God, or it's a theory, practicing a theory. In chapter 12, he says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. There we go. There we go. There's where God always says, you got to turn to me with all your heart. We prayed before communion. Man, God, get that stuff out of our heart. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the heart of stone. We said, God, if you could just wipe that away and cover it with baby soft skin and make it soft again. God, I had a soft heart when I was a baby. But throughout time and meeting people in different philosophies and not listening and not following your word, it became like a rock. And it became hardened. And that's why God says, turn to me with all your heart. It's not enough to show up at church. He says, turn to me with all your heart. That means be at church on time. Be a consistent attender. Be a consistent giver. Be a consistent server. With all your heart. God is asking for everything we have. And we just want to give Him a little sprinkling. Jim Murray, you like to cook. We've talked about food a lot. Well, I have. Jim Murray likes to cook. Could you imagine if Jim made food and said, and it says, put X amount in, and Jim said, I really don't want to give up all these spices. I want to keep those for something else. I'll just put in a little sampling. You ever had that meatloaf that's just like a loaf of meat? But it's, you know. My wife made some delicious meatloaf. And I went to my mom's, I think it was the next day, and she had meatloaf. She said, something's wrong with it. Forgive me, Mom. But it was like a loaf of meat. Now, something was missing. She didn't put all of something in there. I still ate it, but that's what God is calling us to do. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. Uh-oh. Guys, again, he said, return to me. First he said, turn to me. Now he's saying, return to me, which means that they've walked away. We've done that. I've walked away for a month. I've walked away for 6 months. I've walked away for 20 years from the Lord. I came back. He said, turn to me. And then he says, return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful. He is gracious and merciful. Kisha and Eric and I went up to Perkins last night, and Bill and Helen, and we sang some songs up there for a family camp they were having at the Free Methodist campground. And I spoke a word up there, and Kisha sang a song, the song we've sung here, Grace Flows Down. Grace flows down, and it covers me. And all I pictured was not this nasty covering of oil, but I just pictured grace coming down as oil and just covering me and soothing me and making my body smooth. Grace comes down and it covers me, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. It's a call to repentance. When we have walked away, when we've done things our own way, when we have not given God all of our heart, when He have walked away from Him, He says, you've got to come back to me, but here's what I require. Skipping ahead a little bit due to time constraints. Joel chapter 3. And this is why He says to do it. In Joel chapter 3, verse 1, He says, for behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. And He tells us in verse 4, indeed, what have you to do with me? Then we skip ahead, verse 18 of chapter 3. And He says, and it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine. He shall restore their supply. The hills shall flow with milk. He shall restore that. And all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Acacias. When we do these things, God will restore or return or add His blessing to our lives. As we set out to prepare our day, the day of the Lord is at hand. In the Psalm 63 that we read, it starts out with Him getting up early. I will seek you early in the morning. Usually we seek Him about the time we take our drive to work and other people get in our way. We seek Him before that. Prepare us before that. God, make us a proactive people, not reactive. This car got in front of me. Dear Lord, help me through this. No, prepare our hearts. Oh, go on ahead of me. Seek Him early in the morning. Then repent. Give Him all your heart, not just a little sprinkle. If you need help remembering that, remember a loaf of meat does not make meat loaf. Okay, you need all the ingredients. Don't hold back. And when we prepare for the day by seeking God and repenting, restoration follows. Blessings follow. Completion follows. Healing follows. As we close today, just remember, Joel is three chapters long. I've skipped a little bit in the middle, but it's chapter 1, 2, and 3. It's a beautiful book about people that have turned from God, that have repented, and then come back to God and received His blessing. The Bible is full of stories like this. And if you remember last year, right before the first of the year, I talked about reviving us as a church body, as a congregation, as members, as individuals, reviving us. Lord, revive us and reinvigorate us. Study and search out His Word. Learn it, know it, understand it. Beautiful stories like this. Doesn't take that long to read. Takes a little longer to understand and apply it. Recognize and meditate on God's wondrous works. There is no better time of year, I believe, than right now to recognize and meditate on God's wondrous works as we look at the flowers, as we look at those trees turning colors. As you drive out of our road onto Northeast 10th Street, there's three trees right across the road. And Austin said the other day, those three are the first trees I ever see turn red. They always turn red at the same time, weeks before everything else. And it's beautiful right now. As you drive down Anderson Road, either way, look at those trees. Amazing colors. Drove around Perkins last night, and Eric said, my gosh, look at that tree. It looked like God took a bunch of gold paint and said, let me dump it on it and let me shine my sun on there for a reflection. And the fourth thing I said last year was enter the race. And when you enter that race, run to win. And I feel God's calling us still to enter the race, not to sit on the sidelines, but enter the race and run it to win. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful praise and worship we had, Lord, for the healing we've had, for the prayer that we've had. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to partake in the Lord's Supper today, recognizing your sacrifice on the cross for us. And Lord, as we look at the book of Joel today, for those that are in want, for those that feel trouble is in their path, in their way, Lord, that we just understand what Joel said that God gave to him to give to the people. Repent. Turn to me with all your heart. Return to me. Today, if there's any among you that have felt like they have been running from God or turned from God or need to return or repent, we're just going to ask that you raise your hand so that we can pray for you. Ask God to help you find the way home. Would you raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, for those that have raised their hand today, would you just help restore them, help guide them, help them make the path straight to you. Lord, sometimes when there's a stumbling block, we put it there ourselves. Lord, help us move the stumbling blocks out of our way and out of our brother and sister's way. Father, today we just thank you for the story of Joel. We thank you for your word today living inside of us. Lord, as we go out this week, help us draw near to you in the beginning part of the day, throughout the day, and at the end of the day, giving you glory and honor for the great day you've given us. Father, help be with us as we praise you with our lips, to also praise you with our actions. For we know that the two don't always join together. But when we praise you with our lips, Lord, let those actions follow right behind. Let us be an intentional group of believers, like-minded, and Christ-like in our words and our actions. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.